live on 103. Live on 103.7 The Beat, it's The Judge Show with Judge Gregory C. Pittman.
Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Tune in on Thursdays at 5 p.m. as the judge discusses family court, paternity, divorce, domestic relations, neglect, and your legal rights. Got a question? Call the judge at 231-722-8338. All rise. The show is now in session.
Welcome to the Honorable Judge Gregory C. Pittman Radio Show, brought to you by Grand Valley State University. The one and only Judge Pittman is here. How you doing today, sir? It's tough, isn't it?
Oh, man. That was a rough night last night.
It was rough.
That was rough, brother.
Where were you sitting at?
We were right behind Hudsonville's bench.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right behind.
Were you scouting? Yo, Keith, they're going to do this one over here.
That's what I'm going to put 33 in the game.
Right. You've been to a lot of games. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Following high school basketball, certainly. I don't think I've ever been that invested in a four overtime basketball game. You know, No.
I don't think I ever even watched a four overtime game. And I know it's probably been some.
Yeah,
it's been some. They're rare.
Well, I couldn't. I'm with you. I could not just sit here and say I remember watching such and such play four overtimes. I can remember some three overtime
right
type games, but four overtimes, man, no.
Wow. Yeah. From your perspective, should it went four overtimes?
No. I don't have to be nearly as gracious as Keith.
Okay.
No. No, man. No way.
No way.
Now, you know, from where I sat, I mean, from what I was watching, I kind of thought Muskegon was not quite as – that wasn't their best effort. You know, that wasn't their best game.
Okay.
And even saying that, if they could have gotten a reasonably fair whistle – and I just don't think the whistle was fair, man. I think that they it's not so much necessarily all the calls against Muskegon. It's the calls that they did not give on clear, you know, fouls and ones and violation, moving violations, you know, traveling and double dribble and that kind of thing. I just thought that they really, really were not consistent.
They use three referees now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that shouldn't be a reason why these things are not caught.
Well, you know, I mean, I think oftentimes, you know, and we used to see that in the Heights all the time, too, you know. So we were raised on the idea that when you get off the bus, you 6 points down.
Right.
You
right.
know, I mean, really.
Right.
That's just the reality. Right. We were raised on that. You knew that you were going to have a really tough whistle to deal with,
right?
Because of reputation and whatever else, you know, people feel like that because of the speed,
okay.
You know, speed and skill of the game. I think sometimes these days the game is moving so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So many things are happening so fast. Kids are better athletes and they're better trained and they're more skilled and they, I think the game moves faster than some of these referees can process what's happening.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not necessarily always a matter of them being biased to a team or against a team. I think they just miss it, you know. But last night,
right.
A cat goes up, kid goes up on a layup and gets hit across the head,
mm-hmm.
knocked into the student section, and that's not a foul. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, man. I mean, it ain't even close. right. you know, or the, right. the files that they were calling on Didi that really got him filed out. And that I just left Didi. I was just up with Coach and him. And, you know, I told him, I said, man, you kept your cool for 3 years, you know, because you've been beat on and pushed and filed and, you know.
Right.
And he said, well, I just couldn't understand that. I just couldn't, you know, and I lost my cool for a second and got the technical, right. which was a tech, you know, that was clearly a technical file.
Right.
Although, you know, quite often, especially in a game of this magnitude and, you know, kids are competing, and Hudsonville wasn't no slouch. They didn't need help.
Right. they were good.
They were good.
Yeah.
They were good. They're well coached. The coach is a good coach and was a good basketball player back in his day. That kind of a situation where a kid is, you know, caught up emotionally and does something like that, you know, good referees kind of say, okay, you know, I'm going to look the other way.
Right.
And when they get a chance, they say, hey, look, you pull something like that again and you're out of here.
Right. Right.
That cat got to that. He almost swallowed that whistle trying to get that technical out.
That's why I was waiting on. Like
I've been waiting. I didn't know how we were gonna get that fifth foul on you, but you gave it to us right there. And now this is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like I said, I don't have to be gracious about this. You know, as for the professionals, I'm just a fan.
All right.
What I heard was that when the referee went over to the table after Didi committed the. After he called him for the foul that he didn't commit.
Okay.
And then bounced the ball and got the technical. He went over and he informed the scorer's table, I got to have a personal foul on 21 and a technical foul on 21. That's five fouls. Hmm. This is what the referee said to the table.
He knew.
He's keeping up.
Jimmy does not hit him to do that. That's not his job.
I don't think I have ever seen a game or where I've paid attention. Now, I'm not saying it hasn't happened.
Right.
But where I've been paying attention where a person fouls out, it almost invariably is the referee makes the call, and then they move on to whatever, if we're shooting fouls or taking the ball out, they go on to start that next thing.
Right.
And the scorer's table has to inform them. They hit the horn and get his attention and they flash five up at him and let him know what number.
Right.
And then he lets him know you're disqualified, you fouled out.
Right.
Never have I seen, where I've paid attention, a referee have already in mind, I know you got, this will make your fifth foul, you're out.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Make you wonder.
Yeah.
Make you wonder.
Yeah. Wow. Like I said, I don't have
to be gracious. Who selects the referees for these type of events?
I think they are assigned at this level. When you get into tournament play, they are assigned by the MHSAA, High School Athletic Association.
Okay.
You know, during the season, they are assigned through the various conferences that the teams play in.
Okay.
They select the referees and assign them off to. Site to site, but the MHS, and supposedly, you know, so as you move on, supposedly you're supposed to be seeing referees who have been graded because they are evaluated through the year,
right?
Who have graded out to be, you know, as the games get bigger,
the best,
they're supposed to be better.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you get to the Breslin, they're honoring the referees that they thought really had done the most exemplary job. So those referees are supposed to be the best.
We need to get Hot Rod back.
Hey, man. You know, it'd be nice to see a friendly face.
Right, get Hot Rod. He keep it fair, man.
Or you could balance it out.
Right, balance it out a little bit. You know what I mean? We're going to go both ways on this thing.
I stood up one time last night to you know, to clap. And man, my knees were weak.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, I was messed up, Coach.
Wow. How was the crowd? How was the atmosphere?
Oh, great atmosphere, man, both Monday and Wednesday night. And thank you guys for providing everybody who doesn't, you know, get a chance to get there for whatever reason, the opportunity to experience the game firsthand, and you all are streaming it as well.
Thank
so
you.
There's people all over the country. literally, who are keeping up with, you know, with the hometown, with Muskegon and with Heights. And man, thank you for doing that, brother.
Judge, it's our honor. We broke all kind of records last night.
I bet. That's what I heard. I heard that, you know, the listenership was just off the charts.
It was off the charts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they was coming in from states all over, all the way to Hawaii.
Yeah.
They were just coming in and seeing. And, of course, a lot of people on the east side of the state was listening.
Sure.
Looking at the stats like, oh, okay. And they want to see what's going on with the Big Reds.
They're trying to find out what's up with the champ, with the reigning champions,
yes.
You know. But, you know, we're serious here in the greater Muskegon area,
right,
about our young people who are involved in these things. And you know, proud, man, proud of those guys and Keith, and proud of Heights.
Yes.
You know, I'm, of course, incredibly disappointed that, you know, we didn't get out of that district.
Right.
I mean, that's almost an automatic at Heights, man.
Right.
You know, I came into work the next day, and one of my colleagues, you know, probably a little excited.
Oh, he goes North Muskegon.
Heights lost a district. I'm like, yeah, that's the first district lost in. It's got to be
20.
Got to be 20 years,
yeah,
man. Probably
a long time. And I sent Coach a text and told him to keep his head up.
Absolutely.
Man, don't let that be, you know, like his judgment of who he is as a coach, because he's an outstanding coach.
No, yeah, Dale is he's a better person than he is coach, and he's doing a great job with those young men out there. And no joke, it's not been easy.
It's not
been easy. You know, it is a challenge. They are meeting that challenge as well as you could hope and expect. And they're competitive, and they'll be back next year and claim our district back. You know, it's kind of strange going up to Kent City.
Yeah, Kent City.
For a district.
Yeah, that's kind of out the way, isn't it?
Yeah, man. That's,
we could have met up downtown somewhere, you know, Catholic Central somewhere.
That's way off the charts, man, you know.
Right.
But it is what it is, man, you know.
And anything, when we come back, anything you want to talk about today, Judge?
You know, I've been running so hard here today, man. I usually try and give a little thought to what we're going to talk about. I don't want people to think we just come in totally unprepared, but I might be a little unprepared.
We can do barbershop talk. Some rumors. I heard this now. Can you tell me, is this true?
I'm good for listening to a rumor or two every now and then. My pastor, he'll give me a little dispensation. I listen to a rumor every now and then.
Oh, man. Of course.
You hear it all, don't you,
oh,
P.A.?
Oh, my God. I can tell you so much stuff, Judge. Stuff,
you know,
my head just fall off.
I bet people really don't have an appreciation of the amount of information that you have, whether it's you know, accurate, or whether it's true or not,
right.
just the things that people want to tell you,
right,
because of, you know, who you are and how you handle communicating in this community. Man, you probably know so much stuff about so many people.
It's scary.
You know, and I tell you this,
right.
I know.
Right.
and right. I'm certain I don't know to the extent that you do.
And you got to decide when to talk about it, when it's appropriate.
If to talk about it. Sure,
And how to talk about it, because sometimes you can communicate. You never want to incriminate anybody and put them in a position of being guilty when they're not.
Well, you can never unring a bell, you know, and you have to be. That's why my respect for you and how you handle all of this is off the charts, man, because, you know, you could be incredibly reckless and do lots of damage to lots of people in the effort to be first or to be sensational or to, you know, to draw people in because you got it and you can tell a story or whatever, but to really, you know, decipher and analyze the information you get and determine whether or not it has value. And where to take it.
Right.
Everybody can't do that, man. Everybody doesn't have a heart and a mind to do that.
Thanks, Judge. Thank you so much.
No question.
Be right back. Of course, you can be part of the conversation by calling the judge at 722-8338, taking all questions. I guess he take all. He's a sports expert. He's a law expert. He can give advice on marriage, kids.
Is Michigan in?
What time? He's a comedian, too.
What time does Michigan play? That's right.
He's a comic.
That's right. That's right. They didn't make a tournament this year.
Oh, my God.
Not the first one, not the NIT, not the CBI, not the CIT. They're just H-O-M-E.
We're missing. We're missing in action. Exactly. We're missing. We surrender. It hasn't been a good year.
It hasn't been.
We got hockey. We got track.
Oh, you're reaching, bruh. You're reaching.
All right. Be right back.
All right.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
News and programming on WUVS is brought to you by Grand Valley State University. Grand Valley State University is thrilled to be a supporter of your community radio station. Learn more about Grand Valley State University at www.gvsu.edu. Grand Valley State University, proud supporter of your community station, 103.7 The Beat.
Financial wellness is a finesse. At First General Credit Union, we are all about finesse. That's why we are inviting you to get finesse. Stop by First General Credit Union and get free financial help, one-on-one with our friendly and experienced staff. First General will help you get on the right track to financial wellness, and it's 100% free. So stop in for an appointment to get finessed. Check us out at 1stgeneral.com or call us at 231-798-4321. Credit unions are equal housing lenders and are federally insured by the National Credit Union.
This hour, WVSLP programming is brought to you by First Annual Big Jam.
First Annual Big Jam featuring three-time Grammy Award-winning artist T.I., the King of the South, live at the Deltaplex Friday, May 1st. Also performing special guest Snooty Wild, Mama J, and a mystery special guest. T.I. performing live at the Deltaplex Arena, 2500 Turner Avenue Northwest in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Friday, May 1st. Tickets go on sale March 7th, 2015 at the Deltaplex box office or online at www.etix.com.
Media sponsor 103.7 to be.
Think spring at the Muskegon Home Garden and Do-It-Yourself Show, March 20th and 21st from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at its new location, the Fricano Event Center. Talk directly to the experts, from builders and landscapers to lenders and realtors. Enjoy seminars, kids' workshop, Fricano's pizza, and prizes. Learn how to tile a backsplash, cook local, pruning techniques, and more. Visit Muskegon.org for details. Admission is $3. Kids 10 and under free. See you March 20th and 21st at the Home Garden and Do-It-Yourself Show.
Hello, this is PA with some exciting news for our 103.7 The Beat listeners. Now you can take Muskegon's community station with you everywhere you go. To the beach, driving in your car, on the bus, or traveling around the world. 103.7 The Beat now has a free player app for the iPhone, iPad, iPod, BlackBerry, Android, and Google phones. To get your free 103.7 The Beat mobile player, just log on to your phone's market or app store. Then search 103.7 The Beat and download the free 103.7 The Beat player app. The 103.7 The Beat player gives you song titles, graphics, and artist info. And the best part, it's absolutely free. So log on to your smartphone's app store now. Then search 103.7 The Beat. It's that easy. Did I mention? It's free.
I am for the child who will turn 18 and will be surrendered to the world. The child who has never been told that he is loved, that he is smart, handsome, talented, worthy, and he is strong, courageous, that he is somebody. I am for him. I am there for that child, to listen to him, to speak for him, to champion without compromise for what is in his best interest. I am a CASA volunteer. I am you. For more information on how to become a CASA volunteer, please call 231-728-6410.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
Welcome back to the Honorable Judge Pittman Radio Show, brought to you by Grand Valley State University. Go online at gvsu.edu. Grand Valley State University, proud supporter of the Honorable Judge Pittman Radio Show. Judge, I know today was Father's Day. Did you make any fathers?
No, not today. None on the schedule today.
Oh, that's pretty
good.
Had
some trials that I had to take care of, so did a couple of trials today.
Okay. When you do trials, are they like, these are divorce trials or abuse and neglect trials? Or?
All of them. All of that. But today was delinquency, juvenile delinquency.
What did that mean?
Little criminals.
Oh, little kids who do stuff.
Young folks. Yeah.
Young folks.
Yeah.
And then you sentenced them today too?
No.
Found them guilty.
It's just, guilty. Yeah, we hold a trial, and just like in the adult system, there is a pre-sentence report. It's not called that, but you know, that's developed, and we come back, and instead of sentencing, we call it disposition.
All right. Go to the phone line. I think we got a caller on the phone line. Caller, you live on the beat with the judge. You got a question for the judge? All right, let me get this
judge,
right.
Judge, is he able to comment on the police shootings around the country? Do we have any comment on, you know, any of these incidents that pertaining to, you know, these unarmed people being shot?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have not followed all of them, but, you know, one thing that certainly jumps right out at all of us is it certainly seems like there is a larger number of these types of instances occurring, doesn't it? It seems like it's happening more frequently, and quite honestly, without explanation. Is that your opinion too?
Oh, it's most definitely, and
you know, and I guess you know, constructive conversation about it, you know. Of course, we're outraged, and my opinion is I'm absolutely outraged that people, and without knowing all the facts, of course, but what appears to be situations where people are being put in positions of being shot and killed in certain instances, mm-hmm. that appear certainly to be an overreaction to what the circumstance appeared to be, you know, and I'm sensitive to that because, you know, I've got family who are police officers. My brother was an officer for years,
right.
And I have a nephew who's on the state troopers. He's a state trooper now, but
right. And we know police mm-hmm. officers are not bad.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm glad you said that. But
yeah.
By the same token, we are also expecting them to have been trained to such an extent that they are able to maintain a level of composure and professionalism that doesn't necessarily put people in position of being harmed the way it seems like people are being harmed. Young people, you know, I don't know the facts, and we don't know the facts. And I, you know, the lawyer in me always says I don't know all the facts, that so I can't speak intelligently. But what I can say is that it's hurtful to see so many young people who appear to have maybe been violative of the law, but not necessarily a threat of harm or serious death or injury to that officer, but yet they wind up getting shot and killed. That's wrong, man. That's wrong.
And I'm asking you this, Judge.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, you know, just simple numbers, we'll say maybe 20 police officers. I think it's way less than that. I can look it up. But
mm-hmm.
when you're governing 310 million plus people,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to see no police officer shot.
No, never.
But
never
right.
What I'm saying is it do not substantiate this shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
I mean, this is my opinion.
Yeah. I share your opinion because here's my thought. Each of us, I don't know what you do for a living or what you've done or, you know, what you are, you know, consider yourself to be well versed in and do well. But each of us do something that we have been trained in some manner to do. And, you know, nobody put a gun to your head and said, go out and become a police officer. And then and then be, you know, I don't want to be facetious, but be the scariest dude on the street. You know, my prayer for every police officer is that you go home to your family after your shift every day. But my prayer also is that whomever you encounter be brought to justice and not to the coroner's office before we've had an opportunity to find out what the circumstance was that caused you to have to encounter them in the first place. If your training is deficient to the extent that you can't carry out your duty without believing that your first recourse, as opposed to your last recourse, is pulling out your weapon and shooting, then quit, leave, get out. Right. You know,
right?
Yeah, I mean, because it's, you know, it's like if you, you know, could be a pretty distance away. I mean, look like you can use non-lethal force to control some situations. I mean, this thing is playing out, you know, in front of our face now, because we're seeing body cameras, we're seeing cell phones, and that's not always accurate, but we have to say, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I just think it's reasonable for us to expect not perfection, but certainly competence and professionalism. To the extent that these inexplicable shootings of unarmed people don't continue to rise and multiply like they seem to be doing.
Right.
And
after a while, Judge, it becomes the norm.
Well, I was about to say, and it's starting to become, you know, anecdotally, just looking at it from the outside, it's starting to look like there is a mindset somewhere within that policing community that says, you know what? Go ahead and pull. Go ahead and pull and shoot. And you know, what's the old saying? It's better to be judged by 12 than to be carried by six.
I think there's
some of that. It feels like. Right. I don't know that, and I'm not indicting an entire profession, but it feels like there's some of that.
No, sir, because the first person we call when we need help is going to be law enforcement. Right. I mean,
I know I am.
Right.
No, we need them, we need them to come there looking for peaceful means.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a destructive means.
Yeah. Arrest, you know, take who you got to take in and let's, you know, bring it into my court and let's figure it out.
Right.
But, man, when you pull that trigger, boy, it's over.
I'm going to say this. You know, being an African-American male, I'm afraid of just simply being stopped by the police. What a simple traffic stop could elevate up to.
My God.
Yeah. I mean, look what happened in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, listen, can I share something with you? My wife may not appreciate it, but then again, she probably would. We were coming from somewhere. I can't remember exactly where. And she chastised me about speeding. Mm-hmm. You know, I was driving too fast.
Right.
And she says, I'm not so much worried about the ticket. She says, I just don't want the opportunity for something to go wrong in a stop, you know, and we're not people who, you know, we're not forget the police type people.
Right.
But it's gotten to the point that that's a thought for her. You know, maybe about 3 months ago, maybe about right after Christmas, we sat down and had. Probably we talked maybe about an hour and a half with our kids, my daughter and my son, about how to conduct yourself, you know, if you are approached by the police. Because we don't want no mistakes.
Right.
And Judge, we are doing that. We are dressing our kids appropriate.
Yeah.
we ensuring that we give them a proper education.
Mm-hmm.
And it still seems like it's not enough.
Well, this recent thing that happened at the University of Virginia.
Right.
I was just reading
mm-hmm.
that today.
Yeah.
Where the young man who was a part of the student government.
Yeah.
At the University
right.
of Virginia, who
honor student
who yeah. comes up inexplicably bloodied and beaten.
Right.
And he's at the University of Virginia, one of the most prestigious institutions of higher learning in this country.
Right.
And he's doing well, and he's a good student, and he's articulate, and he's involved and taking care of his business, and that's not enough to counterbalance the potential and, in his case, the actuality of being assaulted, you know, or being roughed up by the police. I don't know what the circumstance
right.
was.
Right.
But that kid looked like he had been through something pretty bad.
Right.
Allegedly, he had a fake ID. Allegedly. And they just grabbed him.
Yeah.
Grabbed him without.
Oh, that's right. He was trying to get into a bar.
Yeah. And they just grabbed him
mm-hmm.
and charged him with obstruction of justice on no force. Like, he didn't use no force. So they just.
He got.
They roughed him up without even giving him a chance to get on the ground.
He got beat like that for a non-force. Obstruction of justice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I got the picture right.
That,
I don't know if
that's far. Yeah, I've seen it. Oh, yeah, I've seen it. That's
and,
too
and,
far,
you know,
man.
It's, we all know it well, you know. We know when we go through Cairo, going to that south, we know how to get off that paddle.
Listen, brother, I went to law school at Indiana University in Bloomington, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's really only one road to get to Bloomington from Indianapolis down Highway 37. And that highway goes, well, there's more ways, but that's the main way to go. And going down that road, you go through a couple of towns where their claim to fame is that we are the cradle of the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
Right.
Martinsville, mm-hmm. Indiana. You cannot get into Bloomington from Indianapolis without going through there. And there were a couple other towns along the way on the route from Bloomington to Michigan and back and forth. Brother, I would make certain that I was gassed up and had been to the bathroom and everything I needed, because there was no way I was going to stop in some of those places. And it was 3-4 of those places along that route back and forth to law school.
Wow.
To be out of town by sundown.
Sundown.
You know,
wow.
That's a reality, man. You know, I don't
a reality.
I don't intend to offend anybody. I'm not really.
Never do we do.
I'm not looking to inflame anybody's, you know, guilt or anything about that. But this is my life. This is our life. This is our reality. This is real. You know, not making it up. This is real, man.
Right.
And we, you know, we have young sons growing up, even daughters. But you know,
mm-hmm.
It seems to me they're not looking at the conduct of them. Mm-hmm. They're looking at the pigmentation of their skin.
And drawing conclusions that cause them to react precipitously, or cause them to react before they have something to react to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I don't have a record at all,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still afraid.
Yes, sir.
I, you know, and I shouldn't have to be like that, but, and I'm not going, you know, you're going to know who I am. I'm going to tell you, don't say my name, but I'm saying, you're going to see me with your father-in-law at the game.
All right. All right. I got you.
You know exactly who I am.
I got you, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good brother. Good brother. Good brother.
And I appreciate you. you know, because I was hesitant about asking you. Because I didn't know whether I would
I'm
go over some lines then.
Well, you know, I'll always be careful to not overstep where I'm supposed to go professionally, but I'm a citizen of the world, and I certainly have, yeah. You know, I have an opinion about things that go on in this world, and there are, you know, there are some things that certainly need to be discussed, you know, rationally, truthfully.
Rationally.
You know, we can talk about these things. This is real.
It's real.
This is real.
This is real.
Yeah.
This is absolutely real, man.
Thank you for your phone call.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man.
Take care. All right.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. All right now.
Robert.
Yeah, that's a good dude there. Yeah, good. He don't want his name out there.
Right.
I ain't going to put it out there, but that's a good dude
appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoyed, you know, that is barbershop talk, you know.
Yeah.
Get a chance to talk about these things.
That's what they're talking about right now.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Hot topics. This University of Virginia, the president of University of Virginia has issued a statement. The dean of students, the dean of African American Affairs has issued a statement. The vice president for diversity and equality have also issued a statement, and they both, you know, are very concerned what they see.
They should be.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that they, you know, that they are stepping up and voicing their concern and hopefully, you know, taking some action that will be meaningful in making our college campuses, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, if you're not safe there.
Man.
Right across the street from the main campus.
You know, man.
That's working. And what's bothersome that you rarely see African-American police officers doing the opposite, doing to our white counterparts. You rarely see that reported. You rarely see those incidents. So why is it that it happens on the opposite end of the spectrum?
You know, here's my thought, and I think you hit on it just a couple minutes ago, is that we kind of live in a world now where people are so inundated with images and information, but don't have the actual experience. It's one thing, man, if I've seen the images that are portrayed of a certain people on the internet, on television, you know, across social media.
Right.
It's another thing if I've actually spent time in the presence of people of that group and interacted with them and come to find out more about them than the images that I have been fed or that I've sought out, or the images that simply just make their way out into public consumption. And we live in a world, I think, PA, where we are becoming more and more isolated from one another interactively. And we're becoming more dependent upon drawing our understandings of people from the images that we receive than the interaction and experience that we actually live. Wow. So you get people in these positions and they may not be just bad people, but all they've ever seen is what, you know, what they've seen on YouTube or whatever about black folks and how they perceive black folks to live. So when they are then put in that position of dealing with them, they come from that perspective almost immediately. You probably like the people I've seen. You know, some thought processes might be, you know, I've seen that kind and I'm going to get you before you get me.
Did you get a chance to look at the Justice Department report on Ferguson?
I have not actually seen that. You know, I've just heard the
summaries
of it. Yeah.
It's pretty
stark, isn't
it?
It's pretty, I mean, you know, statistics can say just about anything.
Yeah.
But it's hard to not realize the magnitude of a population of that size in comparison to the interaction and contacts of the police with that population.
Right.
And man,
a lot of heads rolling.
Yeah, well,
because of the report.
You know, the light needs to be shined, man. It needs to be shown for certain. That is uh, that That's something, man. And the conversation is not an easy one.
Right.
It's not an easy one because, you know, the lawyer judge in me is always looking at what are both sides involved in. And you know, we are not without complicity in some of the scenarios that play out. But being wrong and being even to go as far as to say being criminally wrong does not rise to the level of a death sentence.
Okay, right.
And that's what's starting to be played out.
Instant justice.
Instant erroneous justice. Wow. That's dangerous.
Wow, it's dangerous. Now, this was happening in the 70s and 80s.
Sure.
So basically, maybe it's not happening at the rapid rate as it was. Who knows?
I'm not even going to say that.
We didn't have cell phones back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have things changed from that perspective then. It makes you wonder.
It looks like there's been such a great proliferation because, again, we are privy to more information than we've ever been privy to in our lives.
Right.
But, you know, my old man was here. He'd probably say, hey, man, you know, you've been getting cracked in the head forever.
Forever.
You know? And there was, you know, a period of time where we were on our way to being and still on our way. I mean, I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist.
Right.
You know, on our way to having race and all of those types of considerations become secondary to the treatment of people. But that pendulum is swinging, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it really is swinging.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a lie for people to sit and say that the condition of race relations and what people think of how we should be able to get along has not taken some steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
On the legal front.
Right.
You know, I mean, voting rights are under attack like never before.
Right.
Economic justice and educational equality are at points in our lives now that we never thought we would probably ever see.
Right.
I mean, we see our society kind of stepping away from the idea that public education is how this became a great society.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's becoming driven by market principles, competition,
right.
You know, survival of the fittest. The market will bear what it will bear, and those who cannot survive will fall off to the side.
Right.
You have to be your own consumer of your own quality education. If you can't shop and find a quality education, you're not going to get a quality education.
Right.
I mean, you know, 20 years ago, the idea was the best schools possible for every person in every place in this country. We do our best to educate publicly.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Take a break. Come back. I know you got an announcement about a big party going on that your daughter is involved. You going to talk about when we come back?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Be right
back. Or I won't be able to go home.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
Hello, West Michigan. I am Derek Oaks, Wellness and Safety Coordinator for Muskegon Family Care. We are connecting the community to healthy living. We would like to invite you to our Bridges to Wellness Center to enjoy a free week's pass. We offer yoga, Zumba, Zumba Gold, and a high-intensity boot camp. Our hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon. We are located at 2201 South Getty Street, Muskegon Heights, Michigan. Feel free to contact our Bridges to Wellness Center at 231-737-1875. Again, that's 231-737-1875.
Remix Station.
News and programming on WUVS is brought to you by Grand Valley State University. Grand Valley State University is thrilled to be a supporter of your community radio station. Learn more about Grand Valley State University at www.gvsu.edu. Grand Valley State University, proud supporter of your community station,
103.7, The Beat.
This hour program is brought to you by Pepsi Cola. Pepsi Cola, featuring Diet Pepsi, Pepsi Twist, Mountain Dew Cold Red, Sierra Mist, and Mug Root Beer. Pepsi Cola account for nearly one-third of total soft drink sales in the United States. Their slogan is, you got the right one, baby. Pepsi, they care about the community, and they are proud supporters of your community station, 103.7, The Beat.
In celebration of March's Reading Month, activities at Muskegon Heights Academy will include Ramping Up to Reading, which will focus on getting middle school students interested in authors, books, and series of books. This will help build our students' momentum for reading. Additional awareness activities will take place during the fourth marking period as we prepare to launch our Summer Reading Challenge. The message that our staff sends to our students throughout the year is the act of reading improves your ability to absorb and comprehend written information, helping you in virtually any career path. Reading also improves your cultural literacy, making it easier to find shared conversation points with others. We invite you to take some extra time this month to read for enjoyment. For more information on our reading challenge or to find out how to obtain books for your child to read, give our main office a call at 231-830-3700. This is Principal Laws of Muskegon Heights Academy. Expect great things.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
Welcome back to the Honorable Judge Pittman Radio Show, brought to you by Grand Valley State University. Judge, there's a big party going on that you might be DJing at.
They're not going to let me anywhere near this, man. They're not going to let me anywhere near this, but my daughter texted me and said, Dad, can you talk about my dance company's gig? So thank you for giving her a little platform.
Oh, no doubt.
This is the Muskegon Dance Movement, which is Muskegon Community College's dance company. That's the name of the company, the Muskegon Dance Movement.
Okay.
And they are holding a performance over the days of March 27th and 28th. That's a Friday and Saturday at the Overbrook Theater on the MCC campus, 7:30 each night. Tickets are $10 for the public, $5 for MCC students, faculty, as well as children under the age of 12. And tickets are on sale now at the MCC box office, or you can call 231-777-0324. That number again is 231-777-0324 for tickets to the Muskegon Dance Movement performance, March 27th and 28th, Overbrook Theater, 7:30 p.m.
Oh, good.
There you go, little boo-boo box.
Now you can go home.
She's going to be mad I called her little boo-boo box.
So she's part of the dance
troupe. Yeah, she's a part of that dance troupe. Does a wonderful job. My baby can dance.
Really?
She is a dancing Gene, the dancing machine.
So what is her major?
That's a good question, man. I don't know what to call her major, but she wants to get into film and media,
okay,
type production, that kind of thing.
That's good.
She's talented. She's incredibly talented.
Where'd she get the talent from?
Her mother. Her mother. She gets it from her mother. Got it from her mom. Hey, wasn't that a song?
Yeah, got it from her mom. But her daddy plays the sax.
Yes, sir.
He can dance. He steps. Yeah,
you know what? My son doesn't think I can dance.
Oh, really?
Tell him, PA.
He know you's a cue dog, right?
And he wants to be a cue, so I'm going to make him pay for that.
Right.
when he pledges. Remember, I tried to convince you that I could dance, I could move, man.
Wow. Judge, you sit on the Child Abuse Council.
Yes.
That's what the term is. Is it called, Child Abuse Council?
Yes. Yeah. Muskegon Child Abuse Council. Yep. Sit on that board of directors.
And the nonprofit there, y'all deal with a lot of stuff here in Muskegon, don't you?
Yes, sir. It's everywhere. And right. Muskegon certainly has its share. Certainly.
Mm-hmm. And what's some of the issues that the Child Abuse Council is passionate about?
the Muskegon Child Abuse Council is a tremendous resource for dealing with issues involving kids who have been mistreated, whether by, you know, some level of molestation or emotional or psychological abuse, that kind of thing. They are in position to provide counseling and evaluation and be a resource to help get kids and families back on track or get them to the right place to begin to address some of the, you know, some of the atrocities that are dealt upon children that have no business being done. One of the things, you ran a commercial a little earlier, one of the great programs of the Muskegon Child Abuse Council is the CASA program, and we've talked about it here before.
Right.
That's the acronym for court-appointed special advocates, and they are people who volunteer. There's no pay. You're trained over a very comprehensive training period where you're certified as a court-appointed special advocate to serve as the literally as the voice for children in court proceedings. You know, there are many factions, many parts to play in a case involving a child, especially in abuse, neglect, or abuse type cases. But one of the things that was, you know, seemed to be missing over some time, realized, is the voice of that child.
Mm.
Just not what the law requires, not what anything except what does that child want us who are making decisions about them, that child, what does that child want us to know?
Mm.
And these people are trained to be able to work with the family and especially with the child and literally deliver that information to the court during the course of these proceedings. It's a wonderful opportunity for people who love kids, who, you know, may not want to go to the level of being a foster parent or getting involved at that level, but want to be involved in trying to help improve the condition of children in this community.
Wow.
Check it out.
Good program.
Mm-hmm.
Judge, you deal a lot of cases with kids. Do kids actually come into your office and talk to you? Like one-on-one. What are some of the things they're very concerned about, kids be concerned about, that parents probably don't realize or adults around them probably don't realize?
Well, you know, PA, every case is particular unto itself. So
mm-hmm.
I can't say what is a general perception from children. But one of the things, I think we've discussed it before, one of the things that I think parents don't really understand about how kids feel when the family is in some level of conflict is that they don't want to be in the middle of it.
Mm.
That's for certain.
Picking sides,
communicating information between dysfunctional parents from that child. I just had a case where a couple, and this is far too frequent than I would care for, a couple are having a difficult time co-parenting, and they do all of their communication through the child.
Hmm.
Child carries the child support, a payment from father to, here, get this money to your mom, and this is a child support for this month.
Mm-mm.
Come on, man.
Wow.
That's not what he wants to do. Tell your dad that, such and so and so, and you shouldn't, I don't want his new girlfriend around you.
Mm. Wow.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, to the extent, PA, that I see kids who manifest physically, the physical manifestation of the stress that they're under. They have, I won't say ulcers, but they have stomach problems. They have migraine headaches.
Mm.
They some kids, if at a young enough age, they begin to revert back to things like soiling themselves.
Oh wow!
Because they are so stressed out about this upcoming whatever visitation, or if I come home and I'm smiling too much, it looks like I had too much fun at dad's house this weekend.
Mm.
Mom is going to be disappointed. She's going to be hurt. And I don't want her to feel that way.
So kids see that.
Oh, yeah. And talk about it when they finally get comfortable enough to be able to express themselves. And see, that's the kind of thing that a court appointed special advocate would be involved in. They've developed that relationship and they're able to report to the court, to me. This is what this child is feeling about this. This is what this child is seeing in this situation.
So at the end of the day, the person who probably gets hurt the most are the kids.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The drama and pain that you think as an adult you're inflicting upon the other adult is creating the collateral injury to that child. It's like bombing. It's like bombing Muskegon and not thinking that the Heights is going to have some damage as a result of the bomb hitting.
Exactly. Wow. So when a parent talks about the other parent from the kid,
yeah,
that hurts the kid.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
No child, no reasonable child wants to see either of their parents diminished in their eyesight.
Mm. That's a PSA right there.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
as bad as they are, and they can be terrible too.
And they can be terrible, but it's not for you to tell them. It's not for you to see. I told you your daddy wasn't, you know, or
you're going to be just like,
or you're going to be like your mama. Your mama did. They don't want to hear that. And they kind of know what's going on around them. They know who's not pulling their weight. They know who's lagging, who's not, you know, living up to what they should, but they don't want to hear that. And they certainly don't want to hear that from the other parent.
Mm. That's real stuff right there, Jeff. Thanks.
Yep. Wow. You're welcome.
Well, for next week, what's going to happen? What's your prediction?
For
Big Reds.
Oh, man, state championship. Okay. Come on. National championship for the Spartans. Spartans going to take Kentucky out. Kentucky is in trouble.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, man. They're going to regret that they even came to the tournament. The Spartans get done with it, man.
Where do you get your confidence and swag from? This confidence, because you're very confident about everything you do. You know what I mean? You don't suffer for low self-esteem at all. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what, man? You know, PA.
You're a tiger.
If these are people, you ride or die.
You ride with them, no matter how good or bad they are.
That's it. But see, that's what I try and tell all these Walmart Wolverines.
Oh, my God. Why Michigan name has to come up?
Well, I mean, there's some. I'm an alumnus of Michigan State. I'm invested. I'm not a Walmart Wolverine, go out to Penny's and pick up some gear and start cheering for Michigan type cat, because those are the cats who can say, oh, man, they lose. Okay, I'm done. I'm out. No, I'm a Spartan.
You make sure you throw Michigan name out. You be thinking about them a lot, don't you? You think about them.
Hate them. My wife always chastises me. Stop being so hard on Michigan.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
cheer for them.
You know, if you had a chance to do it all over again for that law degree and they gave you that letter.
Let me.
You have been there.
PA.
Come on, Judge.
I have told this story to you before. I turned Michigan down. Not for law school, but for undergrad.
You turned them down.
I turned Michigan down.
And
keep your acceptance.
Don't you know that President Obama probably got more Michigan grads on his cabinet than he got Michigan State?
Well, that's why he's getting some of the trouble he's getting.
No, that's why he turned this thing around.
If he gets some Spartans on his squad, then he can knock Boehner and those guys off.
No, they partying on Air Force One. That's what they're doing. They get some Spartan people. They throwing hustle parties in the lawn in White House. And
so you're saying the Spartans are over at the Secret Service?
Yeah, they over there partying. That's what we got.
That's wrong,
yeah,
man.
I told you, Bronx.
That's wrong, man. That's all wrong. You get him some Spartans, he could turn all of this around.
All right, Judge. See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. God bless. And best to your family.
All right. Thank you, Judge.
Yep. Bye-bye.
It's the Judge Show.